This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The halacha share tonight is a very interesting topic. Which parent has the right to choose the baby's name? It is, of course, related to this week's parsha, because in this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu is given a new name. The pasuk says, "Vayome Elov Mashmecho." What is your name? The Malach says to Yaakov, "Vayome Yaakov." Vayome Lo Yaakov Yeome Oid Shimcho. You will no longer be called Yaakov Ki Yisrael. You are going to be called Yisrael Ki Sariso Im Elohim V'Manoshim Vatucho, because you battled with angels and with men and you overcame them. And therefore, it's an interesting connection to this topic of the baby naming. And in particular, if I could just ask everyone to make sure they're on mute so that there's no distraction. And therefore, it's an interesting relation to this topic of who has the right to choose the baby's name. Now, we know that the name of the person is really inherent, is intrinsic to who he or she is. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Zayin, Shmo Gromo, the name of the person sort of defines the essence of that person. And more than that, it impacts the destiny of that person. That we know that our essence is our neshama. The neshama is spelled Nun Shin Mem Hei. The core of the word neshama is shame, shin men, shame, the name of a person. More than that, Rav Elimelech of the Gent says that there is a connection between the baby and the person after whom he's named. We know more than that, that the name of a person is not just random. It's a portent of things to come, of the future potential of this person. For example, Noach, the pasuk says, Vayikra Shemo Noach, Lemer Zeyinachamenu Me'aseinu Me'itzven Yodeinu. And that really was his destiny. One of the things that he accomplished was to lighten the burden of mankind by introducing agricultural tools. And that is inherent in the word Noach. The Gemara in Yuma tells a remarkable story. The Gemara in Yuma, Pei Gimel on the base, tells a story once that Reb Meir, Reb Yosi, and Reb Yehuda were traveling. And they stayed at an inn. And the Gemara says that Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi would do the normal thing. And the practice was you gave your purse into the innkeeper for safekeeping. And Reb Meir was Dayek Bishmo. He would infer from the name of the person who that person was. And he asked the innkeeper his name. And the innkeeper said, "My name is Kidur. Kidur." And Reb Meir was hesitant, didn't give his purse in. He was suspicious of this innkeeper. And sure enough, when they were leaving a day or two later, whatever it was, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi said to the innkeeper, "Can we please have our purses back?" And Kidur said, "What purses? What are you talking about?" He denied ever having the purses. And Reb Meir says, "I didn't deposit mine because I knew this fellow was untrustworthy. And therefore, they said to him, "How did you know?" So they said, "Well, his name is Kidur. It reminds me of the pasuk in Ha'azinu, Kidur Tahapuches Hema, because Klal Yisrael are accused of being a volatile, changeable nation," which is a criticism. And therefore, he said the words Kidur, it put him off. And the Gemara carries on, interestingly, how Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi got their money back, but not for now. But either way, you see that the name of the person is really intrinsic to who that person is. And we'll, please God, in the parasha share later, we'll, Mr. Hashem, discuss some more aspects of this. But the question we're going to address tonight is, which parent has the right to choose the baby's name? Now, it's important to stress that, ideally, the husband and the wife should agree a name. Shalom bias should prevail. There are no fixed halachas. There are no set rules. And really, both parents should be happy with the name. However, of course, there are situations where, you know, that they can't agree. And the question is, what is the precedent? How does one deal with that? So I got a lot of my material from some writing in Shalmei Simcha, a relatively new sefer. And he recorded the following case. A couple had a baby. The baby was 8 days old, the baby boy. And on the day of the bris, the parents couldn't agree the name. So they went to Beis Din. And the father said, "Look, I think I'm entitled to call the baby by to have the right to call the baby to choose the name. Why does he feel entitled? So he says it's a pasuk in Chumash and it's a Ramban, because in next week's parasha, in Parashas Vayeshev, with the whole incident of Tamar and Yehuda, Yehuda and Tamar get married and they have two children. And the pasuk says in Perek Lamed Ches, pasuk Gimel and Dalet, Vatahar Vateled Bein, that Tamar becomes pregnant, she gives birth to a boy, Vayikro Es Shemoy Er, and he calls the name Er. Vatahar Oid Vateled Ben Vatikro Es Shemoy Oinon. So you see it changes from the first child, from Vayikra to the second child, Vatikra, he calls, she calls. Says the Ramban, and it's also the Radak and others who say this, Ki hayadarkom sheyikra ha'av shema b'chor. The practice was that the father would call the first child. He had the right to call the first child, Vatikra ha'em shem ha'sheni, and the mother would call the second child. Alkein horishin Vayikra shema v'sheni Vatikra. That's why it changes from Vayikra, which Yehuda called the first child Er, and the second one Vatikra. So the dayan in question, in that case, he wasn't certain. Do we paskan based on this Ramban? So they went to the Gadol Hador of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. And Shlomo Zalman said to the father, I'm well aware of this Ramban. However, the minhag in Ashkenaz is that the mother, we let her choose the name of the first child. And then the father chooses the name of the second child. And then it alternates after that. Now, that's the minhag in Ashkenaz. What is the background to this? What are the possible reasons why the Ashkenazi custom is we let the mother choose the name of the first child and the father the second? So I saw three possible explanations. One explanation is that when a couple get married, often it's if they were to move in to one of the parents, they would move into the husband's parents. And therefore, the wife is leaving her parents' home and her surroundings. And therefore, she is afforded this right to retain some sort of connection to her home. That is a reason given by the Shaila de Tshuva's Kese Ephraim, as he puts it, L'kayim yad v'shem lo hireha, to retain some sort of connection to her familial home. Another reason given I saw in the Eitzus Yerushalayim, again in the Sefer Shalmi Simcha, that the minhag is that the wife's parents would support the young couple. They give some sort of nadan, some sort of dowry, and therefore, in recognition of this practice and in gratitude perhaps, the wife gets the right to name the first child. Interestingly, a third reason is that there is a precedent from Moshe and Tzipora, Moshe Rabbeinu. Their child, Gershom, and then later Eliezer, the pasuk says, Asher Shem Ho'echod Gershom. And the Chidah in Nachal Kidumim says, Asher Shem Ho'echod is Rosh Tevas Isha. Asher Shem Ho'echod. It's Rosh Tevas Isha, and he says it's a remez ki ishto kor l'shem, but Tzipora was the one who named the first child Gershom. But who kor l'shem l'sheni? And the Chidah says Moshe Rabbeinu called the second child Eliezer, and that was his turn. That itself is debated because there are some midrashim which seem to say not like that. But either way, the minhag in Ashkenaz seems to be that if again parents can't resolve it by discussion or by agreeing, then the wife is allowed to name the first child and the father the second child. Now, interestingly, in Sephardi custom, it's the opposite. The father has the right to name the first child and the wife has the right to name the second child. Of course, there is that Ramban I mentioned earlier, but it's found in the Shailas and Shuvas of the Rashbash. Now, the Rashbash is the son of the Tashbates. This is going back now to the 1400s, 1300s, 1400s. So it's quite an old source. One of the Rishonim, and he quotes, he's actually related a few generations later, and he says something very interesting. The Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yonah were first cousins, and they were not only first cousins, but they were machatonim. The son of the Ramban married the daughter of the Rabbeinu Yonah. So let's take a look inside. It's nice to see it inside. Says the Shailas and Shuvas of the Rashbash, da. Ki Rab Avraham Aviv Shel Rabbeinu Yonah, the Imen Shel Ramban, Hayu Achim, the mother of the Ramban and the father of Rabbeinu Yonah were brother and sister, and therefore they were first cousins. More than that, as I said, Bitul Shel Rabbeinu Yonah Bar Avraham, the daughter of the Rabbeinu Yonah, Hayisa Nesua LeShlomo Bnei Shel Ramban, was married to Shlomo, the son of the Ramban. Uchashenifta Rabbeinu Yonah, and when Rabbeinu Yonah passed away, when he died, His daughter was pregnant. And when she gave birth to a boy. Now, in Sephardi practice, says the Rashbash, they should have named, one of the differences, of course, in Sephardi world, is you name after a living grandparent. In Ashkenazi world, we don't do that for various reasons, maybe a share for another time, for fascinating reasons. But either way, in the Sephardi world, you name, says the, it's brought here, the Ramban says, you should name after me, because I'm the father of the father of this child. Even though by right I'm entitled for this child to be named after me, and he writes because he's the first child, and therefore the father gets the first right. And he writes to Shikra Yona Hashem Zakena. I want to forego my right, and I want this child to be called Yona after his mother's father. Why? Because Rabbeinu Yona just passed away. There is a concept of Vizorah Hashemesh Rabbah Hashemesh. When the sun sets, the sun rises. When one godel dies, then a new godel emerges. And actually, Kofsa Shimshah Shazer, Zorcha Shimshah Shazer, Bechain Hoya, the Nofag Mene Gavir Rab, and indeed that's what happened by Rab, the godel Bisrael. And this young child, the grandson of the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yona, was named after Rabbeinu Yona and became a great person in Klal Yisrael. So you see clearly from there that in the Sephardi world, that the father has the right to name the first child and then the mother, and then it alternates. To close, fascinating tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Very sad case. A couple come to Rav Moshe, and the wife had given birth, and 2 days after she gave birth, the child passed away. It was a girl, and they had not yet had the chance to name the child, and the child passed away, tragically. Time moved on, and the couple had another baby, and now they couldn't agree a name. The mother wanted one name, the father wanted another name. And they came to Rav Moshe and they said, look, in the Ashkenazi world, as we said, the mother has the right, the custom is, to allow her to name the first child. And therefore, this is the first opportunity I have to name the child. The first child didn't survive. This is our second child, but it's the first opportunity to name the child. I should have the right. And the father said, no. This is the second child, and the second child, I have the right. Interesting question. So Rav Moshe said, no, the Minag Ashkenaz that we refer to is that the mother has the right to name the child. That's only when they have the opportunity to name the child. But if the first child died after 2 days and the opportunity wasn't there, then the mother never exercised her right. And therefore he passed him that the wife, the Tzedek Imor, that the ruling is with her, and she had the right to name the child. More than that, says Rav Moshe, he said, what about the following fictitious case? If you have a mother who gives birth to twin boys, and the moel comes along and says, look, the first baby, the elder one, the bechor, is yellow, we've got to delay his bris. The second one is not yellow, we can have his bris on time. So how does that work? Well, says Rav Moshe, it's the same principle. The mother is entitled to name the second child because his bris is first, and it's the first opportunity to name the child. And the father will name the Bechor because he has his bris second, it's the second opportunity to name the child. So either way, what you see from this is a very interesting area of halacha. But again, as I said, ideally, that the parents, there are no fixed rules in halacha, and the parents should name the child, they should agree with it, they should be happy with the choice. And ultimately, the child should grow up to fulfill his or her potential. But in Minag Ashkenaz, the mother does indeed have the right to name the first child and the father the second. And in Minag Sfard, we allow it the other way around. The father is let the father name the first child and the mother the second, and so on. And we saw the reasons for that, etc. But lots to discuss on that. And Mr. Shem will pick up on a few of these points in the Parsha Shir in a few moments. Okay, thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.